Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is the AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio segment. As usual, we have with us this week the Homeport crew, Beth, our marketing coordinator, and Steve, our techie. I don't know what else to call you, Steve. In a few minutes, we will have Janine Salica, our new sales and service representative for sponsors, joining us. For those of you who aren't aware of the Great Loop, it's a continuous waterway around the eastern portion of North America. It includes the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure about this cruise. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information about the cruise, but we also just love to socialize and go on the discussion forum and talk. We're just a very social, happy group of people. Our guest this week is Mr. Jim Stewart. Jim is the service manager of one of our very valued commander sponsors, Winter Harbor Marina in Brewerton, New York. We're going to be talking about preparing your boat for the cold winter months and then reversing everything and getting ready for the spring. If anyone has any comments or questions during this show, our toll-free number is 877-497-1815. And as is our practice, sometime during the show, we'll interrupt and ask our question of the week. The first person who calls in with the correct answer will win a one-year membership or a one-year renewal if they're already a member. Okay, Jim, are you ready?
I sure am.
Start with draining the engines. Where do we start with winterizing our boat? I imagine it would be draining the engines.
That's correct. When you're winterizing your engines, draining the motors is very important when you are removing all the block plugs and the manifold plugs and sticking a piece of mechanics wire or a pick of some sort and getting up in there and clearing the hole of all rust to make sure that the water is completely drained. Those blockages throughout the years tend to build up a scale of rust, and I've seen in times where people have pulled the plugs and don't see water and think that their motor is basically drained, and that is not the case.
Is there any way to ensure that you've got all the rust out? I mean, is there any visual thing that you can see? I mean, I just can't imagine being sure that it's all gone.
Well, you'll see when you first clear the hole, especially on older engines, the water will be all rusty, and then a few seconds later it starts to clear up, and it'll start to look like just clear water. But at first it'll be a lot of rust. And sometimes it takes quite a bit of poking to get up in there and get it to open up to clear out to begin with. Especially on older manifolds and stuff like that.
Sure. Now, I understand you need to test for coolants.
That's correct. Anybody that's storing in the cold weather storage should always test their coolant with a hydrometer to minus 50 below zero. And if their coolants don't test to the minus 50 below zero, some people think that just by adding extra coolant to it is the answer. The answer is to drain the cooling system and start over. If your motor doesn't come up to the fact of 50 below, there's no sense of trying to save it to begin with. For the small cost of changing the coolant and bringing it to minus 50 would be the best answer on that.
I'm a novice at all this, and I don't know if I'm insulting our members with my questions, but mm-hmm. I imagine there's got to be some newbie out there that would have the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what instrument do you use to test this coolant?
Use a hydrometer. It's a measurement made for coolant, and it's got the markings of your temperature ratings on it. You can buy it at any Napa, any auto parts store, any auto parts warehouse store. They all have them. They're pretty easy to use. It looks like a big turkey baster with some writing on it and some measurements on it. They're very simple to use. Everybody should have one.
Okay, great. Tell us about winterizing the freshwater systems.
Okay. There's a lot involved in winterizing a freshwater system. First of all, if you're going to run the non-toxic antifreeze, which is highly recommended, through your water system, the main thing first would be to drain the system completely and then bypass the water heater. Some water heaters are 10 gallons. Some water heaters are 5 and 6 gallons. You drain the water heater and then disconnect the in supply and the out supply and put a bypass hose at the water heater so that you're not filling the water heater full of the non-toxic antifreeze. And then disconnect from the holding tank your water in coming out from the holding tank to the pump and hook up your antifreeze system right at the in supply of the water pump and pressurize the system with the non-toxic antifreeze and then go to each point of the boat where you have fresh water and reminding yourself that if you've got transom showers and bridge sinks and so on, any place in the boat where there's fresh water, and open up them faucets and keep them open until they have a clear pink solution coming through, okay? And then
Jim, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought we lost you for a minute.
No.
Okay. I guess many people forget about the ice maker. Would that be considered a water system?
That is part of the water system. The ice maker and the washers. Some people have laundry facilities on their boat. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, on the ice makers, they need to make sure that where the supply line comes into the ice maker, that they disconnect that supply line and allowing the water to drain out before they run the antifreeze into the system, because the ice maker will be blocked up with fresh water. And once they've drained that part of the system, they hook back up to that, and they need to pressurize their water system and run the ice maker through a cycle until it pushes out a pink, slushy form of the antifreeze. Okay. Also, the same thing with a wash machine. They should disconnect their supply lines coming in and make sure that they run that thing through a session of a rinse form of some sort to allow the antifreeze to get into the system of the wash machine.
Okay, great. I think we're going to break for a minute. We're going to ask our question of the week early this time. It's kind of a tough one, and I want to give people time to do a quick research if they need to. But remember, you get a one-year membership or a one-year renewal for the first person calling in with the correct answer. The number again is 877 497 1815, and the question is, how many locks are there on the St. Lawrence River, Montreal to Lake Ontario? Call in if you know the answer. Okay, Jim, let's go on with winterizing air conditioning systems. Where do we start?
Where do we start? We go to the C strainer, and we shut off our incoming water supply. Then we disconnect our hose at the strainer, and we hook up a hose from the strainer to a bucket of antifreeze, the non-toxic antifreeze. And then you will cycle each individual air conditioner until you have a clear pink solution coming through the outlets on the hull where your discharge is for your air conditioning. But making sure that all C strainers, even with winterizing the engines and stuff like that, all C strainers always need to be drained. If they are not self-draining when the boat is pulled out of the water, the C-strainers usually have plugs in the bottom of them, and you take the plug out and drain that strainer so that it's got no seawater in it whatsoever. Air conditioners are pretty easy to winterize. Once you get the hoses disconnected from the pump, from the C strainer and hooked up to your bucket of antifreeze, it pretty much pumps through pretty quick.
Okay, great. I know the power systems need to be shut down. Can you go into a little bit of detail about that?
I sure could. When normally what we do up in our area when we're putting our boats up for the winter, we like to, some boats carry multiple batteries and some large batteries, small batteries, 8Ds and 4Ds. And what we like to do is completely label all the wires that are on each battery, whether it's positive or negative, and then disconnecting them wires one at a time, and keeping track of where they go when they get reinstalled in the spring. All batteries should be taken out of the vessel for the winter. They should never be left in the vessel for the winter because they will freeze and it's not good for them. They should be kept in a warm environment somewhere where they can be trickle charged over the winter. But importantly is disconnecting them and getting their wires labeled properly to know where they are going when they go back on in the spring. Because some people can cross a wire and it will do some serious problems and damage if you put them in the wrong locations.
Now, I guess Winter Harbor Marina is a heated marina. I mean, heated storage, is it not?
That's correct.
So that would avoid all of these problems of getting it ready for the winter?
That avoids all the problems for getting yourself ready for the winter. But even in heated storage, we have a fall haul-out schedule that we do. It's almost as same as winterizing. We make sure that we change all the oils and fluids in the engines and generators and so on before they come out of the water. And we like to pump out the holding tanks, and sometimes we've drained the freshwater systems and add an additive. But putting it in for heated storage is a great safety, and it's very good for the boat.
Jim, a question I have is if you don't use heated storage, how much time should you allot for getting your boat ready for the winter? I mean, is it a day's job? Is it several days? Is it a couple of hours? It sounds pretty intensive.
It is. Normally, if we're winterizing a boat that would say in the range of 50 feet or more, it sometimes is a two-day process, which is a slow process, and sometimes it would require somewheres in the range of probably 30 to 40 gallons of the non-toxic antifreeze.
Especially, oh, my goodness, really?
Oh, yeah, especially when you are dealing with large diesel engines, because when you're winterizing the engine and running the antifreeze after you have properly drained your engine, then you're going to be running the antifreeze through the system, and those motors take large amounts of antifreeze. So it is a long process. We do winterize five or six boats a year here that store outside, and we allow ourselves the proper amount of time to not to have to rush through the procedure, because
sure,
that's when problems occur.
I'm not going to pinpoint you at all, but could you give me just a rough idea of the cost involved in winterizing a boat? Again, just a general ballpark.
I sure could. If you're going to be looking at a vessel, let's take ourselves to the fact of a vessel, a 50-footer with two engines, a generator, a water system, and an air conditioning system.
Normal.
Okay? Which is normal. You're looking at 2 days of labor, which would be 16 hours, okay?
Uh-huh.
Times $88 an hour. Your labor would be $1,400 and the cost of your materials.
Now that's if a boater asks Winter Harbor to do it. So I guess if they did it themselves, what they would save is just the labor cost.
Well, they would save the labor cost, but I would suggest anybody that's winterizing their own boat, if they are an inexperienced boater and they don't know, if they've never done it before, they should always consult somebody. Look in their owner's manuals on their engines. There is numerous drain plugs. Some new motors have pump systems to pump the water out. Merck Cruiser has a air pump system that hooks up to their engines to pump the water out. So there's a lot to play when it comes to doing it yourself.
It sounds very complicated or complex. There's a lot to remember.
I would highly recommend anybody that's going to winterize their boat, if it's in their budget, to take it to the proper place to have it done. Then the marina or the yard that would be doing the winterization would do the job properly and would be properly insured for any damages that may occur or something that has been overlooked.
But I was going to ask you, there is some safety there in having a professional do it.
There's a lot of safety there. And when we're doing it, we are very cautious of how we're doing it. And, you know, we keep track of all systems. When we go on the boat, before we start the winterization, we go through the whole boat and make notes of what's aboard the boat, how many ice makers, how many refrigerators, how many faucets and water system faucets. And we go through the whole thing first before we even get started, and then we'll start the list and hit the list one at a time.
And I would imagine you could expect that kind of detail from any professional. You should at least look for that kind of service.
Absolutely. And keeping the boat, winterizing a boat is a messy job, and keeping the boat clean is a difficult thing, too, because you're bringing in large amounts of antifreeze and you're tracking in the boat. So covering the boat and properly prepping the work surfaces before you get started is important, because when you get done winterizing a boat, if you don't do that, you'll have one mess on your hands.
Yeah. Okay, that scared me enough about winterizing. Spring commissioning, is that a complete reversal, or is there something else that's done, or
it is,
input?
Our spring commissioning is a pretty detailed. Some states require to recapture your antifreezes that you are using when you winterize.
That many gallons you'd have to recapture?
Whether you, that's why it's sometimes not, it is important to consult with a professional or a marina to do your winterization, because you are no longer allowed to let those antifreezes go into the lakes or the rivers when you do your spring startup. So when you do your spring startup and get your motors ready to go back in the water, you're supposed to catch that antifreeze in the exhaust into a big barrel or a drum before the boat goes in the water. And that's getting stricter and stricter just about everywhere now. And that's a difficult task.
If you're too smart to do it yourself, what do you do with this drum?
Well, they have places that come and pick that up, and then they will recycle it for further use. But it is, once it's used, it becomes contaminated with water, and it has a mixture of water in it. So if you, most professional boat yards that are winterizing year after year after year, they have ways of testing that antifreeze, that which would be a different tester than a normal antifreeze that would be in a closed cooling system, and they would be able to add to that antifreeze to reuse it again.
Okay, but again, I'm going to ask the question. It's basically going back and just redoing everything you did.
That's correct. But putting your batteries back in and getting them hooked up properly and getting the all the connections tight, and then they, once your batteries are connected, the terminals should be sprayed up with a non-corrosive, anti-corrosive material to keep any kind of corrosion going on at the terminals. And then starting up your air conditioning systems. But the most important thing is when you go back in the water, to make sure that the air conditioning systems and the engine systems and the generators pick up prime. When I say pick up prime, that they start pumping river water again, because if they don't pick up prime, you will most likely take an impeller out or damage an impeller during the process. Air conditioning systems are temperamental when it becomes for startup on the pumps picking up prime. Sometimes, or most of the time, you will have to force feed the pump with fresh water to get it to pick up fresh water before the spring startup. And then you should go through and flush out your water systems and make sure that they are clean and free of the non-toxic antifreeze, and hook up, disconnect your bypass at your water heater and hook back up to your hot and cold on your water heater, and flush your fresh water system out. And we used to use, when I was winterizing on a normal basis year to year, we'd put a half a cap full of Clorox or some bleach and just to freshen up the water tank a little bit and get rid of the taste of the non-toxic antifreeze. You will taste it in your system for a few days.
You will taste the antifreeze?
You'll taste a little bit of it, that's correct.
It is safe to drink, though.
It's very safe to drink. That's why they use it. It is very good in the ice makers and stuff, keeping them from freezing up on the inside. But when you start up your water system and you start making ice again in your ice makers, your first batch or two is going to be a little pink, and your ice cubes you'll discard and throw away. And then you'll be able to, pretty quickly clear out the system, run your washing machine, and make sure that you get all the pink out of it before you start washing clothes again, so that you don't damage any good clothes, I would say.
You don't turn out with pink underwear.
Yeah, and I would suggest anybody that's winterizing with the non-toxic antifreeze, once they winterize their toilet systems and their sinks, to go in and clean all the residue from the pink antifreeze, whether it's the toilet, they should wipe it out completely clean, any showers or any sinks, because it does stain, and those stains do not come out. So it's very important as you're winterizing that you clean this stuff before the boat is put up for the winter.
Well, you have been very, very informative, Jim. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Well, I'd like to say that for the do-it-yourselfers that are winterizing, and when they want to discard of their antifreeze in the on their spring startup, if they're not recapturing and reusing it at a professional standpoint, Safety Clean is a company that we use that picks up and takes out waste antifreezes. And shrink wrap, most boats, it's $25 a foot per linear foot. If you're going to winter storage when the boat is put up on blocks on land, if it's a large vessel, they should have it shrunk wrapped by a professional to keep any varmints or animals off the boat. And that's about it, but I would say that I'm available for any consulting if anybody on our members would like to consult me on a one-on-one basis on any time for their winterizations.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Again, Jim is the service manager at Commander Sponsor Winter Harbor Marina in Brewerton, New York. And just thank you so much. Thank Leslie, too, for giving you the time to come on, Jim.
You're welcome.
Janice, before everybody goes, maybe Jim would like to give the website address so that people, when they listen to this in the archives, they could go to the website and maybe find out how to get in touch with Jim.
Oh, and your phone number, too, Jim. Thank you, Beth. That's a great point.
Winter Harbor's website address?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that would be at, that's Winter Harbor at info.com. And then the phone number is area code 315-676-9276.
I think an alternate address would be, if you don't mind, Jim, www.winterharborllc.com can be used also.
Correct.
Great.
Correct.
That was
and
a good
point. They
can
go right on the website, the internet, and just type in www.winterharbor.com, and they can email right from the website.
Fantastic. Okay, I think it's been a great show, Jim. Anybody who's interested in becoming a member, we'd love to have you. You can go to www.greatlube.org and click Join AGLCA, or call me. My number is 877-478-5667, extension 5040, and all of our shows are archived on the website, so feel free to listen in whenever you have time. Thank you, everybody, and we'll be on again next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.